For those of you who are visiting, we are delighted to have y'all with us. I hope that you'll stay with us for lunch today. And also, just a caution, if you think, boy, they've really got a good speaker in Happy Texas, it's a guest speaker. And so Josh Duncan is with us this morning from Lubbock, Texas. He is a crop consultant. He also happens to be my son-in-law. So I've been looking forward to this for several reasons. We've got our teen trip coming up, and it certainly lifts a burden for me. But Josh came and spoke for us during our recent gospel meeting and did a great job, and so I've been looking forward to hearing him speak again ever since. He is the third speaker in our series. We have already had two. At the middle of this month, we'll have Jarrett Hayden will be speaking for us on a Sunday night in just a couple of weeks, and we're looking forward to that. And hopefully we'll get Tristan Loomis and Justin Brown to come back in the next month as well. And so we have been enjoying this. I know Josh just got through preaching last Sunday night, and so in addition to his crop consulting duties, we've been wearing him out with that, and so have really appreciated him agreeing to come and do this, and we're looking forward to his message this morning.
Good morning. It is a fantastic morning to be with you guys this morning. I'm so glad to be here, get a chance to worship our Almighty God together. I've already so much enjoyed, I always enjoy being down here, but we had a fantastic class this morning. I can tell that this is a congregation that really wants to know what God wants from them and really wants to pursue their His Word and to do the best they can, and that is just a beautiful thing. You don't always see that a lot, and it's just very encouraging to be here. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here, and I thought that we were having a potluck just specifically for me today, but I guess I was wrong in that, and that's fine. But anyways, I like to thank you all for a little bit of attention today. Rebecca and I think it was a month ago, we were watching an episode of Andy Griffith. And in this episode, Floyd the Barber, he was corresponding with a woman through mail. I don't know if his text messaging was broken, or I'm not too sure what was going on there, but he was corresponding with this woman, and he lied to her about his profession. He did not bring up the fact that he was a barber. I think he said that he was the CEO of Floyd Lawson Enterprises. But as you can probably see where this is going, at some point the woman decides that she wants to meet this Floyd, and she heads down to Mayberry to meet him. And after hearing that this is going to happen, Floyd is distraught. He is very scared because of all this facade is going to come crashing down on him. And he's telling all of this to Andy. And the entire time that he's doing it, he continues to look in this mirror that's by him. And he goes, Floyd Lawson, you're a wretch. You're a miserable wretch. And I thought it was funny at the time. And it's still funny. Just looking back on it, though, I've come to realize that I've done that a lot in my life. A lot of looking back on things that I've done. And I'll be honest with you, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. I have done a lot of wicked. I've done a lot of sin. If you were to know everything that I've done in my past, you'd be like, why is this guy even speaking to us? Why is he even allowed in the church building? But I have done just a lot of wrong. And it's nice to be able to say that now. It's nice. Something that you don't really get from the world is they don't really care about your weaknesses. They don't really care. And that's kind of what comes with being a Christian. At some point, we all have to, in our life, realize what sin is doing to us. And we have to realize how unclean that makes us. And part of being a Christian is realizing that we can't do this on our own. And turning to God. The fifth psalm gives us an idea of God's relationship with sin. If you don't mind turning with me over there. the fifth psalm. Starting in verse 4, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." It's hard to read passages like this for me sometimes, just because, you know, in my life I've checked a lot of these boxes. I've been wicked. I've been boastful. I've spoken falsehood. I've been deceitful. There's many times that I've done this. And when you look at God's attitude towards these, that evil shall not dwell with him. He does not take pleasure in wicked. He hates workers of iniquity. He shall destroy all those who speak falsehood. When you read stuff like this, and then you look at your life, it can be a very humbling thing. And I guess whenever I look at passages like this, what's really humbling is that I realize that whenever I was living in my sinful life, I never truly got what I deserved for my sin. The Bible is very clear that sin is deserving of death. You look at Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. You look at the Old Testament, at Sodom and Gomorrah, Nadab and Abihu, they were completely devoured for their sin. The Egyptians went through plagues, and the Pharaoh and his army were killed over their hard-heartedness. In the New Testament, we have Ananias and Sapphira. Not to mention one of the craziest things that I don't actually think about as hard as I should is the fact that God destroyed the entirety of the earth, except for Noah and his family and all the animals that they were able to bring on the ark because of sin. The Bible is very clear about what sin deserves. And but I'm still standing here. And I find that pretty crazy and amazing and awesome. And I'll talk about why I'm still standing here in a second. But I guess what I want to talk about is something that I guess I've been chewing over lately, something that's been bothering me. And that's knowing what I do about the consequences of sin, what I truly deserved back when I was living in my sinful life. I still struggle with times, at times now, thinking that I deserve more, especially during times of trial and hardship. I spend a lot of time thinking that I don't deserve those, and I guess I need to caveat that by saying, you know, if you're going through struggle, if you're going through trial, I am not saying, and I'm, you know, I'm not a preacher, so I still have to figure out how not to offend anybody, you know. But I'm not saying that if you're going through trials, if you're going through struggles at this time, that you deserve it. Get over it. What I'm saying is that what I struggle with is I know what I've deserved in life. And I have been blessed immensely past that. And I'm unthankful. I don't even know if that's the word I was looking for. But I'm very unappreciative of what I have been given. And I find myself very unappreciative of what I haven't had to go through. I want to turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, the beginning of Lamentations, the first couple of chapters, is lamenting over Israel. At this time, they have been taken over by the Babylonians. And the first couple of chapters is looking at Israel in particular and the consequences of their sin. Third chapter is a lot more personal. The book is usually contributed to the prophet Jeremiah. And in this third chapter, he talks about his personal struggles, kind of what he is going through during this time, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me. Time and again throughout the day, he has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy even when I cry and shout. He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and he has set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me to drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. It's a very hard chapter to read, or a very hard section of Scripture to read. To look at somebody who's going through this much pain. And you notice, interestingly, that he attributes, that he's talking about here, he attributes most of this pain to God. Most of this suffering to God, if not all of the suffering to God. And I want to ask you a question. Do you find that you feel like God is against you in your life some of the times, that you are, that the struggles that you're going through is some sort of punishment? The interesting thing about this chapter of Scripture is the Israelites were being punished for sin at this time. That's the whole reason why they're going through this. They had turned away from God. God had promised them that this would happen if they did not turn back to them. So whenever the prophet is speaking in this chapter about God and the calamity that he's caused in this instance, that's exactly what's happening. Everybody knows that Israel herself knows that she's being punished. If you turn back towards chapter 1, in verse 18, Israel is speaking in this verse, "The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his commandment. And hear now, all peoples, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity." It was no secret why this calamity was being brought upon them. So we have a man who is seeing the result of God punishing for sin. He knows that. Now let's see how he moves on from this. There's a shift in tone that's about to come up in verse 19. "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." The prophet is recalling all of this pain, this suffering that he's seen up to this time. He's reflecting on all of that, and the pain is so great that it makes his soul feel like it's sinking. And at the end of that, he says that he has hope. Why is that? And then comes one of my favorite scriptures in Scripture. Hope you're holding on to your seat. "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." It's such a great class this morning. Kind of what I've been thinking about lately is I don't understand how God works in our life. I really don't. I don't know. I don't really think that I need to know. What I do know, and I guess my point to that is I don't know, where it comes, what trial and tribulation may still come from God, that I don't know. But I do know is that this is a man who specifically knows that his trials are from God. And what is his conclusion in this? That God is amazing. His conclusion is that he needs to praise God. That's what he does in this verse. He remembers his afflictions and groanings and looks back on that and realizes that he's not consumed. The people were not consumed. There's still Jewish people around today. They were not completely consumed. He was not completely consumed by his trials. And we're not completely consumed by our trials. We go through, there are probably many among this congregation who have been through things that I can't even imagine, who are struggling with things that I cannot imagine. But I know that with God's help, we are not consumed. Even if we die, and that's a really, really hard thing to think about, even if we die, God's word, the gospel message, the good news is eternal life. Even if we die, we are not consumed by our trials. In John, the 11th chapter, in verse 25, Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." That's amazing. We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And praise God for that. Praise God for being who he is. And so amazing that he is new every morning. I'm not new every morning. The struggles that I go through aren't new every morning. The things sin-wise that I struggle with aren't new every morning. I go through hardships daily, maybe not to an extreme level, but God's compassion for me is new every morning. And I take hope and comfort in that. That is just a beautiful and amazing thing. And great is his faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. When you think about faithful, what do you usually think about? Probably a spouse, a best friend. I was thinking probably some people would think dog as faithful. But if you think about that before spouse or friend, you may need to reevaluate some things. think about this for a second. That's still an imperfect faithfulness. Because even though you may tell your spouse everything, I told Rebecca just about all that I know, and that's not much, but even though you tell your spouse everything, there's still everything that you think you know, there's still things about you that just, due to limitations, they're not going to know. God knows everything. He knew me before I was born. He knows how I'm going to end up in this life. He knows the struggles that I'm going to fail at. He knows the struggles that I'm going to succeed at. And he's still faithful to me. He watched me through all of my rebelliousness. He watched me through all of my sin. And I just love thinking about this thought so much, that the day that I decided to come back to him, he was waiting for me and said, "I knew that you were going to do this." And I love God. I love thinking that he was waiting for me. It's just amazing. Thinking about all of this, when I view trials, when I view the struggles that I go through, and you know, at this moment, they're not too heavy. And you may be thinking, he's not going through anything right now. He doesn't understand. And you know, to an extent, you're probably right. I don't know what many of you are going through, but I guess I'm saying these words to myself at this time because I know this life is imperfect, and that's what's going to come. I am going to go through struggles. I am going to go through trials. And I am praying that I decide now who my anchor is going to be in those. That I decide, that I plan now, before those trials come, that I'm going to put faith in God. I pray that I decide that now. I pray that when I spend time focusing on the things that I feel like I don't deserve, the trials that I don't deserve, that I go back to this verse and remember that I have a God that is completely more than I deserve. He is eternally more than I deserve. And that gives me hope. The verse 24 says, "The Lord is my portion," says my soul. "Therefore, I hope in Him." I said that I was going to come back to why I'm still standing here. Why I haven't been struck down from my sin. And honestly, I don't know. You know, but the Bible makes it clear that God wants all of us to have Him as our portion. God wants all of us to put our hope in Him. In John 3:16-17, very, very popular verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I've been baptized in my life. I've repented of the things that I have done in my past. As long as I think about them at times, I still have that Floyd Lawson moment where I look at myself and I'm like, man, you were a wretch. You were a miserable wretch. But that's not me anymore. It's not, and I know that. That's not me. That is a completely different Josh that I put to death. I'm a new person, and I'm not a perfect person. I still struggle daily. I still struggle with sin daily. It's one of the frustrations that I deal with. But I know that one of these days, I'm going to put on that eternal body, and it's not going to matter anymore. And that's amazing. That is truly amazing, and I praise God for that. I can just, one of these days, glorify my merciful, compassionate, and faithful God forever, and look back on, I don't know if there'll be any looking back, but I pray that I'll know that through all of those trials where I thought that I was going to bend, where I thought that I was going to break, where I thought that my prayers were shut off from Him, He was still compassionate to me and loving to me, even though I doubted Him. And I praise God for that. I'd like to close today by reading Malachi chapter 6. Malachi chapter 6, starting in verse 6. "For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" If you have been baptized and you feel like you've fallen away, just with how your trust in God is doing right now, I pray that you'll pray to Him, that you'll remember that He's compassionate, that He's new every morning. Even if you have been failing for the last however number of years, God's faithfulness is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. If you have not been baptized, I feel like the answer to that question is pretty simple for you now. If you haven't, we offer you this opportunity to come forward while we stand and as we sing.